Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Quickly, I got something I want to share just for a few moments, maybe something to give to you dads and something that we're going to pray into. But if you have your Bibles, go to me, Zechariah chapter 10. Last week, I gave a word. It was a little bit different than what I'm used to giving, but I just felt like the Lord was giving me a really strong word for this season, which has been pretty wild, actually. I get a lot of feedback from people going, oh my gosh, God's been speaking me to this. And a few people came up to me last week and were like, I had an encounter this past week. I didn't know how to make sense of it. This brings so much clarity and understanding. I started hearing all this feedback of things that God was doing in people's lives. I got emails from people in the UK. I got emails from people around the country that tuned in and watched our services, pastors down in Virginia that were watching it saying, we preach the exact same message on Sunday. Isn't it cool when God is doing something like that? And I know that that message is now making its way among pastors and leaders, and I just want to build on it. Is that all right? I want to, really for the next few weeks, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead us, but we're going to be going through together. We're going to be going through the scriptures and really talking about a biblical infrastructure for encountering God, building family, and for carrying mission. Over the next few months, we're just going to find unique and dynamic ways to keep hitting on this. And this morning, I do want to speak on encounter. And the word that I gave last week is that we're coming into what I believe is a 3 to 6 month period where there's a unique grace for people to encounter the Lord. And I really believe that we have a responsibility to steward an environment to encounter the Holy Spirit and to listen to his voice. I've been having a very peculiar couple weeks. Has anyone ever gone through a season where just heaven's just that much closer? You just hear a little bit that much more clearly. I've been in for the past couple years, I've been kind of in a, I do dream. I'm a dreamer. I hear from the Lord in dreams, and I don't really dream a lot unless it's God, which is good. Helps me filter through them. But I was in a little bit of a dry spot. I wasn't hearing at night. It's probably because I have a 10-month-old that wakes us up all night long. But I was. Even this week, I had 3 or 4 dreams this week where every night God would give me actually words and strategy and clarity about cities all across the world. And God was connecting me to leaders where I'd have a clear word for their city. I don't know where this stuff is coming at, but I'm just telling you, we're in a 3 to 6 month window right now where heaven's really close. And I really believe that God is shaping people for what's to come. And what I mean by that is that we are in a massive upheaval of transition right now. We have a lot of people that are leaving their industries of influence and they are transitioning into different directions, and that God is raising up new politicians and new leaders and new police officers and new cultural shapers and sculptors. And I really believe that the people that God are raising up are actually hearing his voice right now. And this transition is, we're going to be coming into a decade where the influencers of the world were shaped in the same period of time. There are mothers that have got so stirred with the education system this year or things they experienced in their families that are going and getting law degrees, and they're about to shake the world. Come on, there's some educators that are about to step into their arena of education. They're going to transform education. There's a lot of nurses and doctors that are about to leave the field, and God's going to raise up some prophetic surgeons. Come on, God's about to raise up some people. And so I just really feel like we're in this transition, but this moment is so important that I want us to get the right language and the right posture in our heart and our lives saying, God, I want to hear your voice in this season. How many of us know the whole Christian life is a process of breakthroughs, revelations, and encounters with God? And I want to demystify that encounter, right? Because I say encounter, and then you guys start thinking touched by an angel. Right? Like a really, you know, like a really sweet black woman coming, like an angel, and talking about the Father, and, you know, and singing songs over us and stuff. Like we often think of trumpet blasts, and we think of all, you know, wide open heavens, and we think about the cherubim, we think about some biblical stories. But I really want to demystify encounter, because the reality is that because of the fall of man, we were separated from the presence of God. We lingered on the outside, longing to be on the inside. And when Jesus came, it says now, all the prophets and all of the generations before us were waiting for the moment that has now been revealed, which is what? Christ in you is the hope that God would receive glory. That when Jesus came and he gave up his spirit and he gave it out to all men, it literally said that we entered in. I could go on a tangent about this whole concept, but the reality is that after the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter got up in front and said, Joel chapter 2 has been fulfilled. He said he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh, and he goes, and it says in Joel chapter 2 that this would be fulfilled when the blood turns to moon and the sky goes dark, that we will then now enter into the great and glorious days of the Lord, right? How many of you guys know that was fulfilled on the cross of Jesus? Jesus was the reflection of the light of the Father. The sun being the source, and the only reason why we can see the moon is because the moon reflects the light of the sun. So Jesus on the cross being turned to blood was the moon being turned to blood. And when the Father turned his face on Jesus on that day and the sky went dark, the sun was darkened, the moon was turned to blood, and we entered into the great and glorious days of the Lord, that his spirit would be poured out on all flesh. Since the day that Jesus died on the cross, we entered into the last days, and we are on a radical series of events that's not a timeline of events. It is a radical series of events happening in the church, of the church discovering the full glory of God until they hasten the day of his coming. And so we are in our born again life. Our born again birthright is to experience God's manifest glory and presence and to see the Father as he longs to be seen and to be known. And every generation has built a ceiling that the next generation would become their floor. And there's been this like crazy succession of passing off revelation and encounters and breakthroughs and whole generations experiencing the attributes of God, and they're passing it off, and then a whole new generation gets born. Don't worry about the next generation. Please, whatever you do, don't spend a minute worrying because they spend too much time on their phones. I'm telling you, every generation latches on to the glory of the former generation, and they build on it. Does that make sense? And so we are in this radical journey of getting breakthroughs. And fathers and mothers in the room, every encounter you have becomes a floor for your children to step up on. And it's what you get to pass off to your kids. And so our whole Christian experience is us experiencing our birthright of hearing the voice of God, knowing God, walking through like levels of breakthroughs, encounters, where we are walking out our salvation every day with fear and trembling, growing into his likeness. Okay? So because of that, when I go, hey, we're entering into a unique season of encounter, how many of us know that God wants to make himself known, because that's what he purchased at the cross and what he gave us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and on the day of Pentecost. And because of that, when I say God wants to make himself known, how many of us know that is theologically accurate all the time? But there's a unique season, a moment right now where I feel like God is doing something where he is beyond just you and beyond just our salvation, that God's doing something unique. What is an encounter with God? An encounter with God is not something that we can manipulate or create of our own actions or ability to provoke God. We are not earning. How many of you guys know it is an encounter with God is not a reward that is in response to right behavior, but an encounter with God is a gift because he wants to be seen and to be known. And because it is a gift, we are not here to earn it. We do not provoke God to an encounter. We can't make the sound system loud enough for you to encounter him. We can't get enough flags waving over your heads and to get you dancing and jumping off of chairs enough to get you to encounter God. That is hype. That is not an encounter. That's not the environment that God shows up for necessarily. He can, absolutely 100%. But we do not provoke him with some levels of actions or steps to get him to do something that he would not have done otherwise. God will show up in secret and he'll show up in chaos. God will show up in every single way. But what an encounter is when we experience his manifest presence of God in a way that alters our reality. An encounter with God is when we experience the manifest presence of God in a way that causes us to alter our reality. What do I mean by that? I mean that God wants you, wants to transform what you consider real. How many of you know it's not hard for us to consider the measurable effects of the world around us as real? How many of you know it's incredibly difficult to so renew your mind in the Lord that the unseen realm of the Spirit is more real than the measurable, factual experience of the life that we're living in the flesh. But when God says, hey, I have an unseen realm that I want you to align yourself to. Hey, I have an unseen truth that's about to be revealed. Hey, I have miracle working power. Hey, I'm going to turn whatever is the enemy meant for evil, I'm going to turn to make for good. Hey, I'm about to show up. How many of you guys know that's an unseen reality that an encounter is inviting us in to believe and participate in? Right? And so God wants to alter our reality of what we consider to be real. So we can encounter God in worship. We can encounter God in the word. We can encounter God in prayer. We can encounter God through the prophetic. We can encounter God through our senses, through our imagination. We can encounter God in each other. I'll tell you one of the weirdest encounters. You guys want to hear one of the weirdest encounters with God that I've ever had? All right, you ready? I've told this story a few times because it's just so weird but so encouraging that you can encounter God in any way, anywhere, right? So I was massively depressed quite a few years ago. And I was just planting the church. The church was falling apart. I had been stabbed in the back. I had people leaving. I had overnight people that were committed to like helping my wife and I transition from marriage into ministry, leave in the middle hours of the night. They left and they moved other places and we were left stranded and people left. It was just this massive upheaval where in literally a matter of months, we went from like over 100 young adults and young people down to that I was leading, and we went down to 20 or less. And all of our leaders were gone, and I was experiencing family turmoil. I was experiencing turmoil on every level, and I was massively depressed. I spent almost every night just finding a reason to just bawl my eyes out, right? Oh, everyone say, aw, right? It was a hard season. And my wife dragged me out of the house because the new Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian was in the theater, okay? She's like, let's encourage you. Let's go to see Chronicles of Narnia. And so we go to the movies, and we're watching the movies, and I'm finding no enjoyment in it at all. It's me and about four to six other people in the theater. And we're sitting there and we're watching it. I'm finding no enjoyment in it whatsoever because I did not find enjoyment in anything in life at the time. And all of a sudden, we get to this scene where Prince Caspian and this little mouse with a sword. You guys remember the movie? Anybody see the movie? It's a mouse with a sword. What's his name? Yep, that one. Reap it cheap. Whatever. Big fan over here. And the mouse is with, they're with the lion. They're standing there who represents God. And they're standing there, and he goes, I want to bring you to where I'm from. And they're standing at the gates of heaven, really at the gates of where Aslan comes from. And he's like, I'd like to invite you, but you have to understand that if you come with me, you can never go back. And Prince Caspian is standing there, and now I'm like going, oh man, because I'm like getting this longing heart to be with Jesus. That I don't care about everything going on in life. I just want to be with you. And I'm hearing this lion with like the voice of God saying, do you want to come to where I'm from? And I'm going, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I'm feeling his presence just kind of like surrounding me. And Prince Caspian goes, you know what? I haven't experienced life very much. I'd like to go back and keep on my adventures. And he says, no. But this little mouse, Reap It Cheap, or whatever you guys call him, he's standing there and he goes, I've had many adventures. I just long to see your land, where you come from. Your home is where I want to be. And that Psalms 84 and the Psalms 132 and the better is one day in the house of the Lord, all of these deep-rooted cries of my heart all begin to emerge in the face of all this difficulty. And I start to weep in travail. Now, mind you, this was not like a, got something in my throat. This is a, in the theater. I mean, I've never in my life scream cried. Like, I am scream crying in this, like, moment. And the presence of God begins to surround me. And I begin to weep and weep and weep as I'm, like, having this realization in the moment that none of these things care. And none of these things matter. And the success of my ministry doesn't matter. And the church doesn't matter. All I want is his presence. And I'm, like, weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. And then all of a sudden, my wife, I literally fall into her lap. Everyone's, like, looking. And I'm, like, soaking her lap in my tears. And she's like, now, okay? You know, rubbing my back. Has no idea what to do. She doesn't know I'm having an encounter with the Lord. And all of a sudden, here's the crazier part. All of a sudden, then the joy of the Lord hits me. And now I go from laughing to hysterical, or from crying to hysterical laughing, because now the joy of the Lord is healing all the pain of all of the rejection, because there's joy in the house of prayer. There's joy in the house of the Lord. And now he's going, there's joy. My joy is going to be your strength. And all of a sudden, I fall on the dirty theater floor. My knees go up into, like, my stomach, and I am hysterically laughing in the middle of the theater, and the 4 to 6 people were thoroughly freaked out. And I got up after about 5 to 10 minutes of this moment with God. I got up, and all of the depression in my life was just snapped, broken, and I was completely set free. That encounter with the Lord literally changed my reality. Are you guys getting it? God is inviting us into encounters. And so I want to give you just really from, like, what I've discovered in my life about, like, if life is a series of encounters and breakthroughs and revelation, and we're growing in the Lord through every one of them, how many of you guys want to know how to actually respond to an encounter and actually, like, actually learn to steward God's ebbs and flows of encounters and revelation in his presence in your life? Go with me to Zechariah chapter 10. I'm going to give you guys just a few things. I'm going to end in just a few minutes. I'll only go as far as time allows. I won't do all my notes. But I'm just going to give you guys a few things. Look at this. Zechariah 10 verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. And the Lord will make flashing clouds, and he will give showers on the grass in the field for everyone. It says, ask for rain when what? It's raining. In the days of latter rain, when the forecast says, yep, it's time to rain, he goes, ask me for the rain. If you ask me for the rain in the season that I've called for rain, then I'll give you rain. Ask for more even when it's already doing it. How many of you know when I say I believe we're entering into a season of encounter, how many of you know the appropriate response is, so God, give me encounters? If God is saying we're in the days of latter rain, then he goes, so ask for rain and I'll show up. When God is doing something, ask him to do it. When God is moving in your life, ask him for more of it. Ask him to increase it because God wants to give you more. An initial encounter with the Lord is an invitation, an open door, but the full impact of an encounter is not the encounter itself, but what the encounter is bringing you into. What I've always found is that when God does one thing, that he always wants to do another thing. That God wants to build off of what he's begun. Even this week, I the Lord began to speak to me, and all of a sudden, every person I started to meet, I started getting prophetic words. I'm like, this is really weird, but I felt like God just told me this for you. It's very subtle. It's very, like, just very relational. Hey, I felt like God said this to you. And it literally was like, I literally just said those exact words this morning. I was like, okay, you know? And then the next day, I meet somebody else, and I get a prophetic word, and I'm like, wow, man, God, you're just really speaking clearly right now. So you know what I did? I highlighted, I can feel like God's really speaking clearly. So I said, God, I want more. Speak to me more. And then I went through 3 nights where I had 3 dreams each night for a different city, for a different leader every single night. When we're in the season of a lot of rain, what are you supposed to do? Ask for rain. And God wants to build off of what he's already started in your life. God wants to speak to you and God wants to take you deeper. And it's easy to stop and say like, wow, you know, like we can have a really powerful service and like, wow, people are really encountering God. Well, that was really nice. I hope that happens again one day, you know. That was a nice experience. I hope everybody else had a good time. You know, but it's time to just get right back to normal, right? And it's time to go right back to our normal ways of life. But in reality, when the Lord appears to us and touches our heart in a unique way, it's him saying, I am inviting you into more. What is an encounter today may become your normal tomorrow. May you like lean into these like moments where God's inviting you. Like life is meant to be like this every single day. It's an encounter to you today, but it's going to become your normal if you can continue to ask him for more. Does that make sense? That moment was a prototype, is a taste, is a sample of what he has in store for you. It's meant to provoke you for more. Go with me to Genesis 32. So number one is ask him for more. Ask him to do what he said that he's doing right now. We have to completely, as believers, get out of this whole mindset that comes from a wrongful belief in God's sovereignty that literally says that we have no involvement whatsoever in the will of God for my life. That whatever he's going to do, he's going to do, and there's nothing that I can do to shape it or to shift it. How many of us know that God can speak his word, but we're invited to partner with his word? What does it say in Isaiah 55? My word will not return to me void, but accomplish everything that I sent for it to accomplish. That when God speaks, he's literally saying, now send it back. Come on, let's play catch. I give you a word, now send it back to me. And my word will not return to me void, but accomplish everything that I sent for it to accomplish. God wants to partner and he wants you to pray into everything that he's saying and doing in your life. Genesis 32, verse 22. And Jacob arose that night and he took his 2 wives, his 2 female servants, his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and he sent over what he had. And then Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him. I mean, that man is a capitalized M. Not just a man, was it? And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but it will be Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it you ask my name? And he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place, for I've seen God face to face, and my life was prevailed. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel. Oh, it says, and just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose over him and he limped on his hip. I want to present to you, my second point is this, is that an encounter with God should change the way you walk forever. When Jacob encounters God, there's a wrestling match and there's a face-to-face thing that there's a, you know, the angel of the Lord reveals to David in this moment is that you are a deceiver and a liar and you've been wrestling all your life and this encounter becomes a microcosm and the angel of the Lord is saying, stop wrestling, Jacob. Everyone, you're fighting for every blessing. You're lying and deceiving. You are tired and you are exhausted and you are running from those that you have covenant with. Stop running. Stop wrestling. This wrestling match literally was not for God to overpower him and to force him into submission. This was actually a prophetic moment saying, see, this is what's really going on in your life. Every moment, every day, in your heart, in your emotions, in your decision making, you're a wrestler, you're a fighter, you're a deceiver. So this wrestling match happens and the angel of the Lord goes, what's your name? It's Jacob. Exactly. But today, this moment, your name will no longer be Jacob. It is now a prince with God. touches his hip and says, and you will forever limp from this moment, as a sign and testament of the goodness of God changing the way that you walk forever. For you will no longer wrestle, you will no longer fight, you will now live in peace with God and with man. Isn't that a profound moment? And how many of you guys know that there should be a limp in our life that the whole world can look at and say, that's a man that's wrestled with God. That's a man, that's a woman who's met the Lord. Man, whenever I talk about the goodness of God, and Robert Barter back here starts to weep, and he starts going, God's been so good, I don't deserve to be here. How many of you guys know that moment for Robert? This is a man with a limp, where everyone can look and see the very measurable goodness of God on his life. That he once was named liar and deceiver, and now he's been named friend of God, and he's walking with a limp saying, I wrestled with God and he changed my name. An encounter with God should change you. You once were hard and now you're soft. You once were a jerk and now you're kind. You once were judgmental, but now you're compassionate, slow to anger, and a good listener. Sometimes I meet these guys, these like old fathers, and I meet them, and I'm like, man, you are the kindest, sweetest hearted guy. And they start telling me the stories. I used to break into people's houses. I was a hellion. I rode motorcycles, and I used to steal things, and I used to do drugs, and I was this, and I used to get in fights. And I once met this guy at a football game. He looked at me sideways, and I knocked him out. And I'm like, what? You grew up in the Wild West, dude. You know, and I hear these stories, and they're the most tender, giving, faithful men that I've ever met. I'm like, you're a man with a limp. You've encountered God, and it's all over your life. Everyone will now look and see that there's a testimony of God on your life of what he's been able to do. He changed your name. Isn't that amazing? Our encounters should change us. It's easy when we can walk away and go back to normal, living, it's easier to walk away, go back to normal. It's easier to live beneath our calling. It's easier than it is to make changes that are necessary to walk into our calling. But the reality is, as God is showing up to change your name and to give you a limp, are you going to let an encounter with God actually change you and begin to alter your life? Does that make sense? Can I give you guys one more? I'll end with this. In Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Isn't that a good blessing? If you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. I want us to begin to change our expectation. The majority of our Christian life is that we know what to expect from church, and that makes me feel safe. And I want to present to you, let's go into uncharted waters of church and start not knowing what to expect every Sunday. We don't know what's possible. And if this triggers you, I'm so sorry. We can sit down and do some counseling about safety and control and all those kind of stuff. But I don't know about you, but when I get together with a group of saints, every time I see a group of saints getting together in the book of Acts, buildings are shaking on their foundations and people are speaking in tongues and getting healed and thousands are being added to the church every day. I feel like we are significantly falling short of what has been presented to us. I mean, it was Peter that just did not know what was going to happen when he walked into Cornelius' house, and he was shocked and amazed. He's like, get water, we're baptizing. I don't know, I guess Gentiles can speak in tongues now, and he just rolled with it. I don't know about you, but I just feel like there's something about having a greater level of expectation for what is possible when two or three are gathered and God begins to show up. And if we would increase our expectation to go in that, I don't know, but there's at least two or three in this room that are with me right now. And if we would begin to shift our expectation, I just believe God wants to respond to hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be fulfilled. That we would come and say anything is possible in this moment. I know it's Father's Day. I know you got stuff going on. But for 1 hour and a half, we don't know what is possible. I got my whole day planned, but there's this hour and a half window in the morning that literally anything is possible. God could do anything in this moment because I'm with all these folks and they're hungry for God. I'll end with this. We I was in Norway, a story I've told before, so if you've heard it, I'm sorry. I was in Norway when I was 22 years old, and I was invited on this Five Nation tour for 30 straight days. It was myself, Sean Foyt, and United Pursuit Band. We were traveling Norway, Holland, Wales, and England, we were on this tour for 30 days. We did 32 meetings in 30 days. And we were in post offices, we were in libraries, we were in Orthodox churches, we were in the Church of England, we were in a soccer stadium, we were in a conference center. I mean, we did everything on this tour, and I was speaking every single night, and we were in Norway, and we got invited to this youth conference, and it was the largest youth conference in the entire nation of Norway, and they brought in the Christian U2 of Norway. They brought in the number one selling worship leader. They had lights. They had strobe lights. They had actors on zip lines. Literally before my service, I'm sitting there in the front row, and literally three men in black suits ziplined over our heads in the church, landed on the stage, and they were like, "Mission Impossible." Youth conference, right? And they had these big LED screens before that was normal. I mean, it was nuts. This is the most influential gathering in all of Norway for the youth. And we're at the largest church in Oslo. And Sean and I are like, where are we? How did we get here? Right? And so we're leading this meeting. And I'll be honest, it was fine. It was just fine. We did some breakout sessions. They were fine. We led some meetings. They were fine. Sean led some worship with the translator. It was fine. But Sean and I were like, you know, we didn't come all this way for fine. We want to see God break in, and they keep telling us that if God moves in this conference, Norway will, the whole nation of Norway will never be the same. So I'm not leaving without my opportunity to change a nation, right? And so Sean's like, hey, I really believe there's power and expectation. So let's just start telling everybody that God really wants to show up on our last night, Saturday night of the conference. And I go, yeah, but did you get a word? He goes, no, but I believe in expectation. I believe it's our birthright. We have biblical precedents to say God's going to show up that night if everyone comes expecting and hungry. So I said, all right, let's try it. And let's be honest, it was a bit of an experiment for me. So we start telling these like 600 or 700 kids, God's coming on Saturday night. It's going to be a powerful time. Tell all your friends. We're going to pack this place out. We're going to go for God, and he's going to move with power. We start saying it every session. We start saying it at every meeting. And we didn't know what impact we were making, but all of a sudden this anticipation, expectation level started rising in the room and in throughout the conference. Now, all of a sudden, these youth pastors start calling their other youth pastor friends to bring all your youth. And what we didn't know until like minutes before the meeting is that 5 or 6 more buses of teenagers were coming from every direction in Norway. Some of them started out driving that morning, driving 8 hours in a bus just to get there that night. We went from 600 or 700 kids to over 1,200. There are so many kids in the meeting that they literally got like power drills in their stadium theater seats. They started drilling them out of the floor so the kids have places to sit. And we get there, and Sean's leading worship, and I start teaching. And all of a sudden, I start hearing all this like noise and clamoring happening throughout the sanctuary. And what I didn't know until after, once again, there's a barrier, and I got a translator, is that multiple unsaved kids were having open-eyed visions of Jesus and getting saved while I was preaching. Right? And all of a sudden, these kids are getting saved all over. And so I just keep preaching. At this time, I don't find myself until hours after that this is happening. And so as I'm preaching, this is going on, and then I share a dream that I had before I came to Norway. I said, I really believe that God's raising up a generation. In the dream, there's an alarm clock that said 24-6, which is, this is the generation of those who seek you, seek your face, O God, Jacob. And the alarm started going off. I said, I believe there's an awakening happening in this generation for those that will give their whole life to seeking Jesus. If you're giving your life to seeking Jesus, rush to the altar now, and 1,200 kids get up and rush to the altar. And to the point there's no room to handle all these kids that are coming in. And so Sean looks at me with his guitar and goes, what do we do? Now, mind you, I thought everyone knew what a fire tunnel was. I feel like it's the most efficient way to pray for people. Line them up, send them through, pray as they walk. it feels like this is the right moment for what my charismatic childhood taught me was called a fire tunnel. And so I said, all right, fire tunnel. And they're looking at me like, what is a fire tunnel? So I said, you leaders, line this way in the stage. You leaders, line that way. You kids, walk through. And we literally had a fire tunnel that ended up wrapping the entire arena all the way around, and 1,200 kids going through a fire tunnel, and every kid was getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. One kid who's walking through had a shattered leg on a crutch. It gets radically healed through the fire tunnel, putting it over his head. They literally, kids get so hit by the presence of God that we literally are there dragging kids through the fire tunnel because they can't walk. Right? The Norwegian youth pastor put the whole thing on, looks at me. I have it on video. He goes, this has never happened in the entire nation of Norway. Norway will never be the same again from this. And I know of three churches that got planted that night around Norway because of the encounter these guys experienced. Listen, I only tell that story for this point, is that there is power in expectation, because those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And we've got to begin to change our narrative around expectation and hunger, believing and expecting that whether there's a guest speaker, guest worship leader, it doesn't matter. When we come into this place together with expectation, I may just know God is jealous to make himself known daily to his people. And that there's power when we're gathering. There's power when we're pressing in together. There's power in worship when we're coming into agreement, when we're coming with hunger. There's power when we make movements and motions in our day and our time to make sacrifices to get together and to posture our hearts to receive. There's power when we carve out this time and come ready to give our full heart, our full mind, our full attention upon the Lord. He wants to show up. Amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? I had a few more, but I just don't have any time to get into it. So I'll leave you with that. But I really believe that we are right now, I believe God's saying, hey, I want to make myself known. That the appropriate response is, so make yourself known. Give me dreams and visions. Show me your face. I want to hear you. I want to know you. Ask for rain in the days of latter rain. Begin to alter your expectation for what God is able to do every single night. I go to bed every night praying, God, show up in my sleep tonight. I expect you to give me something that will change my life every night I go to bed. I go to bed with expectation. I approach my everyday with expectation. God, who are you going to lead me to? God, what conversations am I going to have? God, what opportunities are you going to give me? How are you going to make yourself known to me? And every single day, I live with expectation, and I let these moments radically change my life. I allow them to change my life. People will ask me, Jamie, you're so different. Even in 1 year, I've seen you mature. And I'll just be honest, it's because I let every moment in the presence of the Lord actually change me. So I hope in 1 year, you're going to be like, wow, you were a young man, and now you're so mature, Jamie. I hope you do, because I want the encounters I'm having with the Lord right now to change me. And if I'm not changing, then something's wrong. Right? So I really believe there's a way that we can really posture our hearts and receive. And I don't know about you, but man, I want to pray that fathers would have encounters. I want to pray that dads would have encounters. Some of you know a dad right now that's been a Jacob, and he's been wrestling, he's been fighting. And I think there might be a moment for us to pray, God, let the Jacob dads have an encounter with God, and they stop running and they stop fighting and they get their name changed. Come on, there's some things we need to pray into tonight, but I believe heaven is near and that he's speaking and making himself known, and we can lean into it, all right? So can we just pray this and pray for yourself?